I was thinking this afternoon, I was wondering how many times since Jesus was born, how many times a group of children have told the Christmas story. How many times has somebody dressed up like Joseph and Mary and reminded us that those two young parents left their hometown of Nazareth to come to Bethlehem? How many times, we didn't have one tonight, although I thought Herb was going to play the part of the innkeeper. But how many times somebody's dressed up like an innkeeper and stood at the door of an inn and said, hey, no room, but there's a stable out back that you can go and use, and the manger for the crib. How many times have little girls and little boys dressed up like angels and put wings and halos on and announced the birth of the Savior? How many times the little boys have dressed up like shepherds with their shepherd guard and their crooks, and they've come to the stable to see the little baby that was announced to them by the angels? And how many times have little boys dressed up like wise men with crowns on their heads and gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh and follow the star? And I thought to myself, probably hundreds of thousands of times since that first night in Bethlehem, around the world, in different languages, churches and villages and towns and cities, little children have gotten together and told us the story of Christmas. Group of budding actors and actresses, guided and directed by their parents and teachers, acted out the story of Jesus coming and taking the form of a man, being born in a stable, laid in a manger. And as we talked about this morning, he came for one reason, and that was to provide a remedy for our sins. He came, he was born, and took the form of a man so that he could, 33 some years later, go to a cross and pay the price for our sin. And I'm so glad that God made the Christmas story so simple. I'm so glad that God made Christmas for children. And I'm going to preach a children's message tonight. You know, somebody asked me not too long ago where I went to school to learn how to be a preacher. And the answer to that question is, I went to junior church to learn how to be a preacher. I preached in junior church, and you learn some things in junior church. As Brother Clint knows, as Herbert's finding out, when you preach in junior church, you got to be quick, because they're only going to listen to you for about 10 minutes. And so I've got a children's message tonight, so you can set your clock. I'll be done in about 10 minutes. But I want to tell you the Christmas story, the story of the gospel, like I would tell a group of children. And you say, well, Brother Darrell, don't bring it down to that level. I didn't. God did. God brought it down to a level that every single person, every little boy, every little girl, every young person, every adult could understand. Here's the story, the Christmas story. We've been bad as children. We've been bad. That's what the Bible means when we're all sinners. We've broken some rules, God's rules. And because we've broken those rules, we're sinners. And the Bible says because we're bad, we pay a price for being bad. There's a penalty for being bad. Just like when your mom and dad set some rules and you say, hey, if you break this rule, you're going to get it. Yeah, Dustin, I asked Dustin this morning. I said, Dustin, where's your sister? And he said, she's grounded. And I didn't ask what she did, but that's what we get for being bad, right? When we're bad, our mom and dad have to punish us. And that's what God has to do to us as well. When we're bad, he's got a punishment for us being sinners, and that punishment is to be separated from him forever. But Jesus came and he paid the price for our sin. You know what that means? Let me just tell you, like I tell a little child. It means when I deserve a whooping, when I deserve dad to take the belt out and let me have it, or dad to get a little switch off the apple tree to just let me have it, that means somebody steps in and takes my whooping for me. Somebody stepped in and took the spanking that I deserved, took it for me. And that's exactly what Jesus did for us. The penalty was a whole lot worse than a spanking. The penalty was to be separated from God forever. And Jesus stepped in and he took my place. He took that penalty for me. And it's so simple. I mean, that story is so simple that even little children could understand it. And I was thinking about it earlier in the week, and I know I've done this before, but it's been several years. So I just can't help but share it again with you tonight. The little nursery rhyme that most little children know and learn when they're little. And you don't usually think about it at Christmas time, but it tells the Christmas story in a wonderful way when you think about it. It starts out with Mary, a young virgin, visited by an angel, got a wonderful message from that angel. The angel told Mary, said, "Mary, you found favor with God. You're going to conceive, and you're going to bring forth a son, and you're going to call his name Jesus. He's going to be great. He's going to be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God is going to give him the throne of David, and he's going to reign over the house of Israel, and his kingdom will never end." Of course, Mary asked the question, "How can that be? I've never known man." And the angel said, "The Holy Ghost is going to come over you, and that which is going to be born of thee is going to be called the Son of God." Now, does anybody know what the next words of that nursery rhyme that I'm talking about is? Mary had a little lamb. And that little lamb was Jesus. You see, lambs down through the history of the Jewish people, they represented Jesus Christ. Every day a lamb was sacrificed. And on the ninth day of the 10th month, the Jews called it the Day of Atonement. On that particular day, they would take a lamb, the high priest would kill it, and he would take the blood into the Holy of Holies, that special part of the temple where the Ark of the Covenant was, where the mercy seat was, where you could only go into that part of the temple one day a year. And the high priest went in the Holy of Holies, that part of the temple, one day of year, and he went in with the blood of the lamb that was sacrificed that day. And with that blood, he went in and he sprinkled it on the mercy seat where the presence of God dwelt there on top of the Ark of the Covenant. And once a year, he took the blood into the Holy of Holies to atone or to pay for the sins of all the people for the past year. And that's exactly what our lamb did, Mary's little lamb did, after he died on Calvary. He took his blood, he went to heaven, he went into the presence of God. All the times before that those lambs were killed and the blood was sprinkled, it only forgave sins for a year. It only paid for the sins for 12 months. But when Jesus took his precious blood into the Holy of Holies of heaven, and he went before the presence of God and sprinkled his blood there before God, the book of Hebrews tells us that no longer did lambs need to be sacrificed, because the blood of this lamb paid for our sins forever and ever and ever and ever. And that little lamb that Mary had at Christmas time, John the Baptist introduced as, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And that's exactly what Jesus did for us. In children's terminology, it means he took our whooping for us. It means he took the punishment that we deserved. He took it in our place and paid the price for our sin. Now, you know the next line of that little nursery rhyme? Mary had a little lamb. What's the next line? Its fleece was white as snow. You see, that's what Jesus had to be to qualify to be our Passover lamb. He had to be white as snow. He had to be pure. He had to be perfect. You see, back in the days when they offered lambs for sacrifice, if the lamb wasn't perfect, it was disqualified. If it had any defect or blemish, it couldn't serve as the sacrifice lamb. If it had sin, if Jesus had sin, he couldn't pay for our sin. That's why the Bible says, and it's true, that he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. Our Savior, as he walked among man for those 33-some years, he was tempted in every way that we were. and yet he never sinned. And he qualified as the Passover lamb. That's why the book of Isaiah could say, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." His fleece was white as snow. Fleece that's white like snow. And the price that he paid on Calvary, if we'll take that price, will turn our crimson sins, the wickedness that each one of us have because we've been bad, he'll turn it as white as snow, just like the little lamb. And then that last line. This is the part that I can't help but get excited and have chill bumps run up and down my arms when I think about it. "And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go." Let me tell you what that means to me. That means to me, before I got saved, Mary's little lamb followed me everywhere I went. Before I understood that I was a sinner, before I even knew that I needed Jesus, the Lamb of God followed me everywhere I went and told me over and over and over again that I needed him. That's it. And you say, "Well, Brother Darrell, I thought that was the Holy Spirit's job." It is. But I'm not going to try to explain the Trinity to you together tonight, the Trinity, the three parts of God. I'm not going to try to explain that. I'm just telling you, before I got saved and before you got saved, if you're saved tonight, God followed you everywhere you went. And every chance he had, he gave you the gospel message. Every chance he had, he reminded you that you were a sinner. Every chance he had, he reminded you that there was a penalty for that sin. Every chance he had, he reminded you that somebody paid the price for that sin, and that somebody was Jesus Christ. And every chance he got, he reminded you that if you'd simply received that gift, if you'd simply received that lamb, if you'd simply trust that lamb that died for you, all your sins would be forgiven. You could become part of the family of God. Your sins, which were red like scarlet, would be white as snow and white as wool. But there's a second part. You see, when we got saved, the Lamb still followed us everywhere we went. The promise that's in the Bible says he'll never leave us or forsake us. Lo, he'll be with us always, even until the end of the world. And so that little lamb that Mary had at Christmas time, the person we know as the Lord Jesus Christ, never leaves us or forsakes us as a Christian. He's with us all the time. And I don't know about you, but it makes me feel real good to know that Jesus goes with me everywhere I go. It makes me feel real good that I don't have to face any problem or trial of life by myself. I know sometimes because of my sin, it's hard for me to feel his presence, but it's not. He hasn't left. I've gotten away from him. He is always there. And so the Christmas story, it's a story for children. It's a story about a little lamb that Mary had, born in Bethlehem, lived among us for 33 some years without sin, went to a cross, died on that cross in our place so that we could be made right with God. And that lamb follows us wherever we go to tell us that we need to get saved and then to be with us wherever we go as a Christian. Now, let me ask you tonight. I'm done. Let me ask you tonight. Do you know that little lamb? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight? That's what the Christmas story is all about. The fact that he came and he died and he took your place. And he wants you in his family. And he promises that if you'll receive him, just like I mentioned this morning, just like this coming Saturday, Friday night, Saturday, whenever you're going to exchange your gifts, there'll be a gift with your name on it. Well, God's got a gift with your name on it tonight. And that gift is eternal life. That gift's salvation. And just like Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, all you got to do is take it. Just take it. Just tell God you know that you've been bad, you're a sinner. You understand that there's a price, a penalty for that sin, and that you're trusting Jesus to pay the price for your sin. You're here tonight, maybe this is your first time, maybe you've been here many, many times and you've heard this story hundreds of times before, but it doesn't make any difference until you do something about it. I'm asking you tonight to take it. I'm asking you tonight to try the lamb that was born at Christmas. Like a little child, the Bible says, if we'll come like a little child in faith, believing that Jesus died for us, he'll save us, make us part of the family of God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the simple, simple Christmas story. Thank you that it is a story for children. Thank you that we can tell that story day after day, week after week, month after month, and it never grows old. You never get tired of telling it. Never get tired of thinking about it. And Father, I pray tonight if there's folks here that have never acted on that story, they've never received the little lamb that was born at Christmas time who went to the cross to die in their place, if they've never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, tonight in simple childlike fashion, they would just say, hey, I know I'm a sinner. I believe you, preacher, when you say there's a penalty for that sin. And I believe you when you tell me that Jesus paid the price for me. And tonight I'm going to trust him. Tonight I'm just going to simply trust Jesus and nobody else to make me right with God. And I pray, Father, that every person that's here that has never done that, that has never received Christ, would take the gift of salvation that he offers to every single person. Bless the invitation. Use it as you see fit, Father. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.